town?
Yes.
That little red house that's up the last one on the right, there was a mill right in there. That mill burned.
Yeah. And I understand there were at one time two mills on the...
Down here, yes.
So many of your students must have been children of people who worked in the mills.
A good many of them were, and some of them had a farm or something like that, rather than... Now, Mrs. Kenneth Ward, they had two boys that went to school, and Mrs. Merlin Ward, she probably told you, she had two boys and a girl that went to school. She had one boy that was especially a bright boy. Mr. Willis, this was a cute little story. I was teaching Vermont at the time, and I had a question. Mr. Willis was in the room, so he heard this. And I thought, well, Richard is tying his shoe now. I'll see if I can catch him with a question. And he kept right on tying his shoe. So Mr. Willis said to me later, you thought you were going to catch him, but you didn't do it. He answered me while he was tying his shoe. Then he had infantile, and that really shook the town here, because he hadn't been out of town. Nobody ever knew where he got it.
Who had infantile?
Richard.
Oh, Richard Ward.
Mm-hmm. He was the oldest boy.
Did he survive?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he's in the lumber business, too, but not with them. Uh-huh. He went out on his own. Uh-huh. I've got some boys that have really turned out very well. I like to keep track of them.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have one boy that was my last year here before I left. He came, I was giving out different things for him to do, and he came to me. And he said, Mrs. Herrick, may I sing for my part? And I said, sing? What do you want to sing? He said, well, what do you think I should sing? I said, well, how about I Believe? He said, sure, I'll sing it. And so I said to Mr. Izor, he and I worked together, I said, Larry thinks he could sing for graduation, but he wants the loudspeaker. Do you want him to have it? He said, well, we'll get it for him anyway. So they got it. Well, the first day he tried it, he looked at me and he said, Mrs. Herrick, he doesn't need any loudspeaker. We don't need it. He can sing without it. So he agreed. He was willing to sing for us. And one of the girls played the piano for him. I tried to use all my children. If they can play or sing or anything else, I tried to use it, have them use the time or whatever they wanted to. So we got this Mrs. Maynard's daughter up here. She said, I can't do it, Mrs. Herrick. I can't do it. I said, yes, you can. You're going to do it. And she said, well, I'll try it. So she practiced with him, and that's what he did. He sang. And do you know, today he's out west, and he has two bands, and he's teaching in one of the schools. And I think he told me when he was here this fall, he came to see me, he had 167 students in one class.
Huh. This was for graduation this exercise?
That was graduation.
Yeah.
Now he's gone on. He went from here to Montpelier, and he sang in the choir out to Montpelier. And his grandmother said to me, Mary, how did you know he could sing? I said, I didn't. I said, he told me he could sing, and I tried it, and we found out he could. He's a wonderful chap, too. And they've adopted two children. He just lost his grandmother, and that upset him, Mrs. Conrad. Did you talk with Mrs. Conrad at all?
Is she the woman who just passed away?
No, she's the daughter of the woman that just passed away. They built, I think it's a $105,000 house.
Oh, my Lord.
You better talk to her, too.
Uh-huh.
She should have a different version from the rest of us.
Uh-huh. Are they a longtime family here?
Oh, yes, she was born and brought up here.
Uh-huh.
Then she married a man out in Montpelier. And his family were the gas people out in Montpelier.
Did you have much contact with the mills? Were you...
No, only as I came in contact with the people. Now, the man that had the store was also one of the school directors, Almon Burgess. And he went from here to Bradford to live. But and both of them, Mrs. Burgess could sing and play both. And her son used to do that. He'd sing or play. He didn't want to. He was different than Larry. Larry was always ready to sing. He loved to sing.
Holly Ward was telling me that in the winter, because of the dams, the water was high here behind the village.
Yeah.
Kids would skate. Do you remember going out on the river? And,
no, I never did that. We used to have a pond, not a big pond, you know, just a small pond that they could skate on. And then they used to slide. Did Holly say anything about sliding?
I don't remember that he did.
Do you remember when they had the big round pans they used to have?
Yes.
Well, I used to go out with mine at recess time, and we'd go up on the hill, and we'd go down in the pan. And one day they got me to go down. And one of the boys said, "I'll be down at the foot of the hill to meet you." Well, I had no idea that that pan would go like it went. And I went round and round and round. And it was a good thing he met me at the bottom of the hill, or I never had been able to stand up. But I used to slide with them. They used to love to slide out on that hill. But we never did much skating. The children didn't have... Those children at that time didn't have too much money to spend. And for a long time here, they had hot lunches. They would, each mother would take turns and make a big kettle full and bring it to school, all hot, and then the teacher would have to dish it out. Each one had their own bowl and their own cup. They did that for a long time until they put hot lunches in.
Huh.
So we've done everything to get. But that was something they all enjoyed.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I'm trying to focus on a little bit in all of my conversations with people is the river. And I wonder what. How have you been aware of the river?
Well, of course, my barn comes, the river comes up to my barn. When the river overflows, it comes up there. And at that time, it didn't touch this house. And it didn't touch the cellar even. But this house over here, it did touch the cellar and took some of the land in the back.
You mean the 27 flood?
That was the 27 flood. And then we had another one, you know, that came later, that came up on this end and came up, you know, where the Schultzes live?
No.
Yeah. Well, they have the restaurant over back there.
Uh-huh.
And the water came up, came right up the road. And everybody, of course, got excited. And, of course, there's one house that disappeared. Down here, went down the river.
In 27.
That was, you see, before I came here, so I didn't see as much of that, but the people on this end of the town went into the Ward's big house because they could go up high, you see. And Mrs. Ward, even now, it took to a building up here. Took two buildings. It took the library. They have a nice library in this little town.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, the people at school don't want to use it because they don't have any bathroom facilities.
Uh-huh.
So they have to get along by going, having one over there. I don't know what the state requires now, but when I was teaching there, each one of us had a library in our own room. And with me, it was easier for my children to get their literature and everything right in the room.
Have you used the river at all to swim in?
No. There's only one place up here that you can swim. They call it the swimming hole.
Uh-huh. Has that always been popular? Do you remember kids years ago swimming?
I don't remember. Mrs. Ward used to take the children. She used to do that a lot. She loaded in so many and take them up. Do you know where the Austins live? They live up on a little hill. You turn to the right before you go over the, go straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to take them up there because there was a good swimming hole and it wasn't dangerous. I don't know. There's some parts of this river I would hate to be in. You see down below where the Shepherd place is, there was a father and son drowned there just 2 years ago. They were on a rock fishing, and the little boy fell in. And the father went in after him, and the father drowned too.
Oh, my word.
So they both drowned right there in the rock.
Is the current dangerous?
Well, they said it was about 30 foot deep.
Huh.
I never had any children that were disagreeable, really. I had a real cute thing happen to me while I was teaching here. A boy that lived up on the hill asked me one morning if he could bring his groundhog to school. And you know, you hate to say you can because you don't know what's going to happen. I said, well, how are you going to bring a woodchuck to school? Well, he said, Mrs. Eric, he said, I've got a house for him. He said, I have a place he can eat, a place he can drink, and a place he can sleep. Well, I said, how big is it? He said, well, it'll sit right on the table there. So I said, all right, you can bring him down, we'll see, but you mustn't let him out. Oh, no, he said, I won't let him out. But he brought him down and he set him on the table. And he had just what he said. He had a place for him to eat, a place for him to sleep, and a place for him to play if he wanted to. He had a loop for him to jump on.
And this was a groundhog?
This is a groundhog.
They're pretty big, aren't they?
Not too big. This was a little one. This was a baby one. Well, he was probably that long.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, of course, the kids were fascinated to think we'd brought him. So at noontime, he said to me, he said, may I let him out? Well, I said, is he going to get away? He said, no. He said, he'll sit on my shoulder. So he opened one of the doors and took him out, and he did. He sat on his shoulder, and the children were just happy to see him. And he said, now he'll go to sleep. So he put him back in. They played with him a little while right around the room, and he didn't offer to run away or anything. He put him back, and in a few minutes, one of my children said to me, look, Mrs. Herrick, the groundhog's gone to sleep. He had curled up in the hay and gone to sleep. Now, they were fascinated with that groundhog. Somebody said to me, how did you dare let him bring that groundhog to school? Well, I said, he said he was a pet. But it showed them that you could do something with animals once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And he was a boy. He was rough and ready. You wouldn't think he would be so friendly with a woodchuck.
Yeah. Well, it sounds as though the river wasn't too important.
Not to me. It wasn't to me. Of course, it was to the lumber company because they did the sawing, all their sawing down there and up here.
Uh-huh.
I was here when that building burned up there and everybody was scared to death for fear it would, you know, these houses are kind of close.
Yeah. They pump water out of the river to fight fires here?
They had to then.
Yeah.
Because that was the only place they had the water to get. Yeah. You see, everybody here now, that's the trouble here. You have to have your own water system. Mine used to be way up on the hill. And I was 70 years old when I made my last trip up there to the... I had a reservoir up there. And I had the water come here first, which was the way it was set up. And then Adrian and Bernadette had the overflow from what I had down cellar. Well, sometimes, you know, they would feel I was drawing more than I should. Maybe I was, but I wasn't aware that I was. Well, anyway, of course, while my husband was alive, he tended to it. But when after he died, I went up to check on it once in a while, and Adrian would do it once in a while. And the last trip I made up, I said to myself, I'm an awful fool to walk up this hill and see if that water will be running. So I came down and I said to Adrian, well, you're going to have to do something. You're either going to tend to the water or I'm going to have to dig a well. Well, he didn't want to dig a well, but he didn't want to go up on the hill to tend to the water in the wintertime, because when the winter froze, you were without water. Roger Strauss let me have water one winter just for using a hose. He would fill my water tank downstairs, and that would last me for a week. And then he'd fill it up for the next week. So that way I got my water, but then I decided I needed a well. So I dug a well. And it cost me only $4,000, but it was a little bit too much. But then Adrian had, when I dug the well, Adrian had to dig a well because he was going to be without water.
Yeah.
So he and I both dug a well. And so now we each have our own well. And Aline doesn't have her own well. She still has a spring. Carolyn and Roger have a well because they were one of the first ones to have a well.
Did everyone have, you and Adrian shared a spring, but otherwise, did everyone have their own springs?
Well, yes, Aline still shares her spring with these people over here.
Uh-huh.
And then the big house, you know what I mean, the big house, the Ward house, they had a spring of their own, and that was a big, they had a big tank, and they used it, and they used it. With the church, they let the church have the water.
Huh.
And everybody has to have their own septic tank, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they'll continue that, but it isn't easy.
Now, in the village, were there things that brought everybody in the village together over the years?
Well, when I first came, I was here a while, they used to have parties, card parties at different houses, and they did that a lot, but now they don't ever do that. And then they used to have minstrel shows. That was a very popular thing here, because we did have some wonderful voices. Gordon and Kenneth and Florence had nice voices. Marilyn Ward had a nice voice. And then the Griffith boys, who lived down on that little house on the brook, they had voices, but they really had some nice minstrel shows.
At the town hall.
At the town hall. It was all done in the town hall.
Yeah.
And they had plays in the town hall.
Did everybody mix pretty much?
Oh yeah, they seemed to me. To me, they mix much better than they used to than they do now. You don't see people like you used to. Now I never see any of the teachers, and I always had a, when I first began to live here by myself, I had different teachers stay with me. One. The principal said to me one day, Mrs. Eric, all they have to do is roll out of bed and go to school.
Yeah.
He used to laugh about it. And that girl lives down south now, and she's still teaching.
Uh-huh. So the wards, even though they were the owners of things, mixed with everyone else in town pretty well.
They seemed to. Of course, you'll hear criticism. You'll hear all kinds of criticism. But you can't, you have to value your criticism. I just had one child refuse. She told me one morning, she came to school and she said, Mrs. Herrick, I'm not going to salute the flag anymore. I had just lost my brother because of the war. And one of the boys said to me, he never saw me turn so quick. I turned and I said, listen, young lady, as long as you're in school, and the school board tell me that you have to salute the flag, you will have to salute the flag. Now I said, you go home and you tell your father and mother what I have said. And if they object, they can come down and talk to the school board, not me. I said, I have to do what the school board tells me. I never heard from them. That was the only thing that I ever had that crossed my path.
Did the people in town stay pretty constant, or did people move in and out quite a bit?
Oh, they've moved in and out. And lately, the last couple of years, there's a lot of changing around. And have you been up on Moortown Common?
Only to drive through, you know.
Well, over on your right, do you notice a lot of houses? Mm-hmm. Well, those are practically all new on that area. I can't. Do you know where Dr. Butch lives?
You know, I live too far away to know who lives where.
Well, you know, there's four corners.
Yes.
Up there. Well, Dr. Butch is on the right before you go clear up.
Uh-huh.
Then when you turn to your left, it takes you up on, that's another hill. That's another area. Then over when you go in the middle road, you go up where the doctor lives and several other houses. They put new houses up there.
Uh-huh. And those are all people who work somewhere else,
work somewhere else. One man that lives up above where the road forks again, we got a fork up further, he does something with a boat in New York and travels back and forth.
And years ago, did everybody pretty much work right here in town?
Practically. A lot of them didn't have cars.
Did the ward company ever import people from outside because they needed more work, more workers?
I don't think so.
So it was pretty much then just the local people.
I would say,
yeah.
You see, there was... The Reagan family had several boys, and they all worked at the mill. And then the people that lived in the house where Dr. Strauss lives, they had two or three boys, and they worked here.
Did your husband ever consider coming to work in the mill?
No.
No?
No.
It wasn't work that appealed to him?
No. No, he did practically carpenter work all the time. Now, where he worked with the heel machine people, they used to ask me at Norton Abrasive if we always agreed. And I said, we never have time to argue about one is better than the other.
Uh-huh.
But it was entirely different to me. Because I had never worked in anything like that. And I was, they told me I was the 10,000th person to work for Norton Abrasive.
Oh, my.
It's a huge establishment.
Uh-huh. So you felt more comfortable being here than staying in Massachusetts after your husband
died? I did. My sister doesn't like it because she says I'm too far away. But of course, all I have left is just her. So, We didn't have a big family. There were only three of us.
And Moortown is home.
No, I can't agree with you there. We moved to Northborough, Mass. And I finished my high school there. And I graduated from high school there. And then I went to Framingham Normal. And then it's always seemed to me more like home to me because my friends are there.
Uh-huh.
I've got friends here, yes. I've got loads of friends here. But I've lived here so long, I told somebody the other day, I thought I better sell it and move. And you know what they said to me? Why are you going to move?
And what did you say?
I said, I don't know. I haven't got that far. No, but when we talked to buying this, they couldn't get over. We wrote to Mr. Jocelyn at Waterbury Bank and explained to him that we both couldn't be away from the school at the present time, and could he tend to this business for us? And he said he could. So we came up in June to look at the house because it was rented, and he said to the woman, do you mind if I look at the house? And she said, no, I don't mind a bit. But she said, we told Mr. Pierce we'd give him $1,000. And she says he don't want to take it. And Grafton didn't let on. We had already bought it. So he never said a word. He said, do you mind if I go upstairs? She said, no. So he went up and he looked the house over. And when he came down, he said to her, he knew the Mrs. Benedict. In fact, I had been to school to her. He said, when you get ready to close school in June, you will have to find a place because we aren't going to rent it anymore. And she said, have you bought it? And then he explained to her. He said, yes, we bought it some time ago. She said, well, he didn't tell us.
Huh.
And Grafton said, I don't know. You'll have to talk to him. And then they bought the place where Mr. and Mrs. Granfield lived. But we didn't come right up, you see. We used to be allowed so many days a week off, and we used to take those 3 days and come up here and spend them.
Uh-huh.
And then we each got a month's vacation, so we used to come and spend our vacation here.
Huh. And you said that your husband had said this would be a good place to buy because it would be a nice place to retire to.
Yes, and he said, well, they have two churches. And he said they have a school and they have a store. And he said if we get where we couldn't wait on ourselves, somebody would wait on us.
And has that proved to be something you've needed? Someone to wait
on? No, because you see, he had a heart attack and passed away very quickly in Massachusetts. So he never made it, but he lived to come back here. So that's one reason why I've held my house.
Yeah. Can you get out easily?
Oh, I have an automobile.
Yeah.
And I can drive.
So you go out and do your shopping?
Yes, I do mine. You see, I had to have an eye implant a year ago, and because I had glaucoma in this eye. And for a long time, I couldn't drive. And, of course, the state, in order to drive, I had to turn my license in on my own. And they told me if I turned it in on my own, that I would be allowed to drive without a road test. Well, when you got to be my age, you didn't feel you wanted to take a road test when you'd already taken one. So I decided I'd turn my license in, so I did. And when I got where I could see, when you can't see, you're lost. I said to Dr. Seidman, are you going to help me get my license back? And he said, yes. He said, you can have your license anytime. He said, now you can tell the state of Vermont you're ready to drive. I said, well, you've got to tell them because they won't do it on my say-so. Well, he said, I'll tell them. But then I had a girlfriend that worked in the same department that I was talking about. So she asked the man who had charge of it if he was going to let me have my license, and he said, sure. So they gave me my license back, and no questions asked.
Huh. May I ask how old a person you are?
How old would you say I was?
I don't really know.
Well, I am too old, but I'm 88.
Oh, my goodness.
But up to now, I've been able to take care of myself. But if I ever felt that I couldn't drive, I wouldn't drive. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Seidman said there's no reason in the world why I shouldn't drive and do my own grocery. I drive to Montpelier. I've driven to Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
I asked him about, I never go without I ask him if he thinks it's all right.
Yeah. So Montpelier is where you shop then?
No, I shop at Waitsfield mostly, but I shop both places. I like to shop both places.
Seems like one very big change in the years that you've been here must be the amount of travel on this road.
Oh, it is terrible.